Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good evening, I'm Jan Carnley Cook, and I know some of you better than others. I'm a Milton resident. I've lived in Santa Rosa County over 40 years, being married to your county administrator, Devan Cook, and surprised because he did not know I was coming to speak tonight. The only person I know longer than that is Tom Danheiser, because we went to school from fifth grade until we graduated, so I have met some of you, but some knowing longer than others.
when the county administrator's wife shows up at the public forum in Santa Rosa County and didn't tell him she was coming.
This isn't like the divorce drama
No,
I'm like, oh my God, I love Devan Cook.
I know, not even a teeny tiny little bit. This is one of those, like, just if you know Devan at all, and now I do not know Jan, I have not met her, but knowing Devan and hearing 18 seconds worth of Jan talking, I have what I think is a fairly quick but accurate picture of, you know.
Wait, good. Their names are Jan and Devan?
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
That's cute.
Devan and Jan, okay. That's right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Candy and Andy. So anyway, I think I have a pretty good picture of, you know, just good, solid, decent, you know, country people, right? Like, just salt of the earth types, okay? So what you're wondering when you first hear this is like, what's about to happen? What's she doing here? Oh, my God, no.
But I'm here to speak of my disturbance at the civility of the last board meeting. And in regards to the First Amendment, we had some people here who chose to speak, and it wasn't even information that was relative to county business. It was about pornography. And they read things that were extremely inappropriate. I think, Chairman Wright, you were probably surprised, because you probably would have stopped that earlier had you known.
Yeah, this was a case where there was this. Remember, people have been obviously talking a lot about book and content at the libraries and schools at the Santa Rosa Board of Education, and also the same thing at the Escambia Board of Education, school board, you know, those meetings, right? They've been having a lot of, but that spilled over at the Escambia, or at the Santa Rosa County Commissioners Board, when people were reading books there talking about, why don't you do something, more of this, like, ginned up, out of your lane kind of controversy that always involves James Calkins. So, you know, and somebody actually read From the Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, a scene that involves some pretty ugly behavior. I mean, really ugly behavior, and just read it. And there's actually a rule now with the school boards that if somebody gets up to read a book that is being considered for removal, and they're not allowed to read from the book, then the book has to be removed, at least temporarily. The theory being that if it can be read in the library, then it ought to be able to be read in the public meeting. And if it is so vulgar and disgusting that it cannot be read in the public meeting, that is prima facie evidence that it ought not to be in the library, which there's some sense to that, okay? There's also some sense to the notion that even great books will sometimes have portions that are better left out of polite society, better left out of polite company. And, I mean, you know, as people have made comment that there are parts of the Bible that you don't typically read in the Sunday morning service. You know, and does that mean the Bible itself should not be read or should not be taught? Well, no. But anyway, that was the behavior that led to this comment from Devan's wife, Jan Cook.
Freedom of speech does not include some particular areas, and those are obscenity and child pornography. fighting words, threats, and I feel like that was far overreaching. There were two children that I saw in the audience, and now that information, which was had very limited access in our libraries, is now posted on your website and multiple websites, and every child that has a phone can listen to that and hear things that I certainly didn't know in terms that I didn't know when I was that age.
Yeah, and look, I watched that meeting. I listened to this description. I found it very disturbing, and I didn't play these clips on the radio because I didn't think that it was appropriate. And I wish the commissioner had done something to stifle it or to cut it off or something. I know he felt bound, you know, like, I don't know. It's hard to figure out what to do when this is happening because of all these swirling rules and because of the argument and because people are out of their lane and it's not a relevant issue for the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners. I mean, just all this stuff. But anyway, so she left with a kind of a recommendation. And part of the reason why I wanted to play this, but you'll hear that at the end.
Probably even the suggestion that I have seen in other boards, commissioner boards and school boards, that when the time's up, just cut off the mic, because that would prevent the contentiousness and engagement. And I'm in Mr. Calkins' district, but he does not represent me because I am a Democrat. And by virtue of what he said, evil. Thank you.
Boom. Like, yeah. So, and he did not respond to that specifically. He did respond. Commissioner Calkins did respond to the idea of the books. And, you know, he did have a comment about that. But he, I think he kind of knew better than, you know, and well, he also argued that he didn't actually say that about Democrat, but he did. You know, he really did. He might not have meant to. It might not have been what he intended, but, you know, he did say what he said. So, good for her. I mean, you know, I probably would have, well, it's weird. If she tells Devan in advance that she's coming, then he's kind of in the awkward position of, you know, should I have had or not, because, you know, right? But if she doesn't tell him, then it's kind of like plausible deniability, like, well, I didn't know she was coming, you know, and she doesn't want to get him in trouble. I don't know. It's but there's obviously, he's, you know, she's a person, he's a person. If she's the wife of the administrator and wants to show up and talk, it's entirely her privilege, her right as a citizen, even a Democrat. You know, that's great. I like Devan. I like him so much more now that I know who his wife is. Like, that speaks volumes about him. So good for her. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
Year to date, we have about 17 young people through our summer youth who are now permanent employees of Escambia County. And I'll take a moment, man, to just take a commercial and say, you know, we were giving out incentives of $2,000 for people to sign on to Escambia County to work here not too long ago. But these young people, we were training them in our summer youth. They don't even make $2,000 the entire summer, but they're being trained and recruited, and they get the opportunity to live, work, and play here in Escambia County because of the support of that program. So we certainly appreciate that.
So Commissioner May talking Tuesday during the Escambia County Commission meeting, and I'm kind of getting to listen to that one partway through. I'm still not quite done with it. I still haven't gotten to the Delta concrete crushing hearing. But anyway, it's an interesting observation because on the one hand, he's right. It's a great way to, you know, get a little bit of extra labor, get a little bit of experience for the folks. The summer internship program is a really good program, both in the city and in the county. And I would agree with him that if that produces 17 full-time staff, that's also a bragging point because it's an entryway. I mean, anybody who does internships, their goal is to find employees, right? That makes sense. Just one quibble, okay, and it really is a quibble, is he's saying we'd spend $2,000 on, you know, incentives for an employee, and we're not even spending $2,000 on an individual person who works here for the summer. Okay, but you know, if you want to do the math on this, you'd have to think about the overall cost of the whole program, right, divided by 17, and then you'd figure out whether you're spending more or less than $2,000 per end employee, which is the right comparison when it's $2,000 per incentive employee. I don't disagree. I always like to get the thing, you know, really accurate in the end if we're going to say it. So it's not quite right to say it just the way he did. But again, good program, good result for the county. You know, even if what it does is just train some people, give them some internships, make them a little bit of money, and get some labor passed on into the county, I mean, that's all good. You know, I'm not objecting to the program. Just saying the way you want to think about the end success bragging point is just a little bit different than what he said. 522 here on News Radio 92.3. Another note we got from the commission meeting is that the roundabout in Perdido is going to be, well, undone, maybe?
Chris Phillips, we've had a lot of problems with the roundabout out there. And and last Saturday was the straw that broke the camel's back when I had multiple people sending me videos, and it just wasn't working. So I appreciate his willingness to go out there, take video, take pictures. And now we're going to commission a engineering study. That's right, Chris? That's what we're going to do, because a lot of folks that wanted that roundabout, they feel like it's not big enough. They feel like it's not doing the job that it's designed to do. Although I know the number of fatality wrecks has decreased, there's been an increase in the number of fender benders. So we're going to look at that scientifically to all the folks in Perdido who are very frustrated with that. I only built it because I was told the community voted for it. And there's a video online you can watch, and they did vote for it. They wanted it. Now that it's built, they don't want it. So we're going to study it scientifically before we walk it back.
Yeah, I mean, okay, just, you know, it's not my fault I didn't do anything. Okay, understand. And yes, the community did want it, and that's all accurate. I don't know, it leaves a weird taste in my mouth when that's kind of the bragging point is, but I didn't want it in the beginning anyway. Okay, fine, whatever. But the engineering study to figure out if it's not right, to fix it, okay, good. I drove through that. I do not know the area well enough to be able to say definitively it is or it isn't working, but we have enough complaints about it that it seems like something worth looking at to see if it isn't working, if it's worse than what was there before or worse than any other alternative we can reasonably put into that location. Could just be that sheer volume means it can't be solved, you know? Could be that you need a two-lane roundabout instead of a one-lane roundabout. Could be that you need a traffic light. I mean, I don't know what the end result's going to be, but like any traffic problem, if that is the problem, then let's figure out a way to solve it. So, you know, good. A little bit annoying, obviously, as a taxpayer, that you would put a thing in and then within within a year, you would already be talking about completely renovating it. But sometimes governments make mistakes, too. You know, and sometimes people vote for the wrong thing, too. I mean, that happens. 525 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
We're delivered this.
Oh, we'll get back to David in just a second. He's recording for his other stuff. Ah, there he is. All right. We caught you mid-work.
You
Sorry.
Did. one of the rare times I'm actually working.
I know. Normally we catch you mid-eating, you know, and mid-recreating,
right, I'm trying
and mid-golf
to spit
game.
Out the muffin the candy gave me earlier, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, no. Hey, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy coming to the defense of former President Trump for his actions centered around the January 6th Capitol attack. McCarthy said he doesn't see how Trump could be found criminally liable and suggested that he did tell people to be peaceful at that rally. Air quality slowly improving for millions as smoke from those Canadian wildfires starting to thin out now. Despite the improvements, air quality alerts are still in place over about a dozen states today from the northeast New Hampshire all the way to Wyoming. And last night's Powerball, there was one single winning ticket for the $1 billion jackpot, and it was sold in Los Angeles.
There you
go. That's right. None of us. But apparently there were 30 winners that won the $1 million jackpot, matched everything but the Powerball. So
if you go in for the $1 billion and you wind up winning $1 million, you happy or are you complaining?
I'd still be happy.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. But knowing people, okay, you were one number away from $1 billion.
That's true.
At your million. And though you would think people would be super excited about, I'm just on the basis of a little bit of knowledge of human nature, I'm going to guess that there are even those people who know they should be grateful for winning $1 million or should be excited about winning $1 million. I bet there's a number, and they're like, "Dang it!"
You know, honestly, I think if you won the million instead of the billion,
yep,
it almost might be a lucky thing.
Oh no, that's true. It's better for you to only win $1 million.
You're
still
going to have friends and, you know, this coworker though that comes out.
That's right. And you're not going to, you know, you're not going to have to watch your kids every day to make sure that they don't get ransomed. I mean, like all of right. Only winning $1 million. And you said it's in L.A.?
It was in L.A., yes.
Yeah, I mean, $1 million in L.A. buys you what? Half
Starbucks.
A duplex? Yeah. I mean, so it's not much after taxes in L.A. It's not even that much money unless you're a striking SAG after worker or something like that. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. The Department of Education yesterday came forward with rules, voted on rules that kind of implement the parental rights bill and some of the other things related to behavior in schools. And it's kind of like, you remember how the medical board had put forward its rules about transgender surgeries and hormone therapies and all that were supposed to be in line with the bill that the legislature was passing. And they work back and forth with each other a little bit. There's the recommendation by the professional oversight organization, the medical board, and then there's also what the state legislature does. This is kind of the same thing, you know, because you have the Department of Education, you also have the law that they have to work within and around. And so this is, it's not really like a big change in things, but it is kind of a formalization of their compliance with what the legislature already put in. And basically what it does is it sort of officially puts in place the idea that K through 12, you know, you're not supposed to be teaching gender identity and orientation kind of stuff unless it's part of an official curriculum. That's especially at the higher levels. K through 8, you're really not supposed to be doing this stuff at all. Have to use the pronoun of birth rather than the pronoun of preference. As even like nicknames and things like that have to be approved by the parents. You're not allowed to keep that information from the parents. If a child is trying to work with a teacher to be called a she when the child is actually a he and the parents don't know about it, and which is, you would think that's obvious, but there's actually a movement afoot in the country to like really support and affirm children in their choice to change gender without telling their parents. And then educators are being encouraged to go along with that and hide that information from the parents. There's actually, I was reading this about a bunch of mayors in Florida that all Democrats, that have signed on to a pledge basically that they will do whatever they can to help children with their gender identity, regardless of what their parents know or want about their kids. It's a really, like, to actually hide. You know, there's a part of the pledge or a part of the guidance that basically says, you know, yes, it can be strange to use the wrong, as in the birth, pronoun or name of a child in communicating with that child's parents. But that's just sometimes what you have to do in order to keep the secret. that you and the child have worked out at school away from the parents to whom the child doesn't want to be honest about who they believe themselves to be. I mean, that kind of weirdness is actually going on. And again, you have political leaders in Florida and governors around the country that have pledged to keep those secrets for children. It's just weird stuff.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A second IRS whistleblower tells Congress the Justice Department protected President Biden's son, Hunter.
House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer said he had facts on what millions of dollars to the president's family could buy.
Influence and access.
Democrat Jamie Raskin argued Hunter Biden got no passes.
But arguably selectively tougher treatment than the millions of the people who never face criminal investigation for doing the same thing.
Hunter Biden has struck a deal to plead guilty to tax charges.
Fox's Gunnar Scott. The Swedish embassy in Iraq is set on fire.
Dozens of men broke into the compound overnight. They're angry at plans for a protest in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, where a copy of the Quran is expected to be burnt.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. There's one winning Powerball ticket sold in Los Angeles for the more than $1 billion jackpot. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Pensacola police investigating a fatal shooting on the 3000 block of Creighton Road this morning. Spokesman Mike Wood tells News Radio one person was killed. And Creighton is closed currently near O'Reilly's Uptown Tavern due to the crime scene. Right now, no word on a suspect, and we will update you if we learn any more this morning. About 30 people at the Pines at Warrington Apartments now looking for answers, and also they're trying to find somewhere to live. They all suddenly received eviction notices on Tuesday.
Heartless, putting all these families out, taking no responsibility, no accountability for this.
And that is one resident who talked with Channel 3. And according to their reporting, the tenants all received a letter from Pensacola law firm Tidwell and Associates that said last month's severe weather made their apartments uninhabitable. The residents were told they have 14 days to leave. Some, if not all of them, are now looking at legal counsel to see what can be done. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he's putting forward a bill that would defund the special counsel investigating former President Donald Trump. He says it's because of a lack of transparency in what he called the election interference feature.
They are attacking our democracy and engaging in election interference right now. And if the United States Congress does not have the capability to stop that election interference, well, then what is all the flowery oratory about preserving the republic?
Gates' announcement coming just hours after Trump said he had received a letter from Smith's Capitol riot investigation informing him he's the target of another grand jury probe into attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Santa Rosa County's proposed budget for the next fiscal year is up, and the tentative spending plan comes in at $250.8 million, a $1.5 million increase from the current year.
You can see in the general fund, our revenue increased $14.2 million. 11.2 of that was an increase in our property tax revenue, which was quite a jump from what we reported last month.
And offsetting the general fund increase is the lack of $17.8 million in ARPA funds. Those ended in 2023. County Budget Director Jane Nicholas told the commissioners this week that the budget maintains the county's 6.0953 millage rate. Starting today, Unite Gulf Coast is partnering with several local churches and also Feeding the Gulf Coast. There's a big food distribution event going on. They say 65,000 pounds of food is going to be distributed. There's four local sites that you can pick up that food from. Those include Olive Baptist Church, Warrington, Greater Little Rock Baptist, Milton High School, and Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pace. And Unite Gulf Coast officials again say they've got 65,000 pounds of food to distribute. And the hours for each of those four sites are going to be today through Saturday, 12:30 to 3:30 each day. 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Good Thursday morning. Heat advisory in effect for the entire area. Goes from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're going to have highs today through the afternoon hours into the middle 90s. Some spots on the coast only into the lower 90s, but all of us will feel like 100 plus. In fact, some inland spots could get close to 110 degrees for heat index values Thursday alone. stays hot on Friday, a little bit cooler this weekend with rain chances. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And this morning we've got 78 here in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Go ahead, Andrew. I couldn't play Beautiful Day. I know. I have all the mayor's music now.
I'm a huge fan of any of these abilities to bring vibrancy to our community, whether it's the South Market for Plaza Ferdinand and DIB and that getting that going. That's been a great success. They continue to add more and more vendors down there. And they have a lot of pent-up demand. So any of those opportunities we have to make this a cool place to live, and I think those are that.
Yeah, so he's very much in favor of the idea of the Pelican Drop, but like a good adult, I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, D.C. Reeves is like the adult in the room, right? And like a good adult, he says, well, we're going to look at it.
From all sides.
We're not
right.
going to commit to doing a thing just because it seems like a good plan. We're going to, you know, or it seems like everybody wants it. We're just going to look at it and see if it makes sense financially and what's the shape of the Pelican. And just kind of all of that stuff combined, which is the right way to look at it instead of just jumping in and, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do that. So I actually appreciate that about him. We talked with him about this yesterday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Here, say it again.
You want me to do it again?
No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. So Pelican Drop at this point is, well, we're looking into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the prudent way to handle this. I mean, at the end of the day, there is a significant expense. There's a lot of police and a lot of fire that goes into this. You know, we just did a rough estimate of what just the city's cost is generally on a parade, as an example. It's about $40,000. And I think the fee is about $1,200. So, you know, that's okay. There's a lot of other values to that, those parades, right?
Right.
All the tradition and bringing people into the community. Those are all things that are, that bring great value to us, but just like the Pelican Drop does. But that doesn't mean we should also be blind to its expense, blind to the stresses that it may put on police and fire and things like that. So, I really do go into it with an open mind, and also as someone, just like you said, as someone who generally philosophically wants it. Yeah, so you know, we're approaching it in that way, but we're not going to just, you know, jump right off the
off the cliff here and say we're going to definitely do it and us get ourselves or our staff and our first responders in a bind.
All right, here's the way you solve this problem. You put it up for a public vote, and you offer people a three-part choice. A, Pelican drop. B, 45 days of lit-up three-mile bridge, colors of our choosing. Or C, fix the mold in the outer closet areas of City Hall.
Well, I know what's going to finish last.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
You're
the adult
sick.
Decision will not finish first.
It's not nearly as exciting.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think some people probably hear you and or heard the Public Works Director, Mamie Tootle, you know, and are like, oh, God dang it, why'd you have to bring this up? Well, because this is what a responsible person does. You acquired an enterprise, and now you're trying to figure out what you acquired, and you'd found out there's $500,000 worth of water and air intrusion that needs fixing, plus remediation of the damage that's been done inside. And, oh, by the way, that's just one building. What about PPD? What about all the other buildings the city owns? Right? I mean, this is responsible management, but it's going to be costly.
Well, look, my response to a person that would say that is to say, do you think a new mayor is as excited as you are about having to find six figures and seven figures of maintaining? I mean, that's not fun for a mayor.
No.
That's not fun for a council. That's not fun. You know, I mean, it's kind of like buying tires. You know, no one gets excited about it, right? I mean,
right.
This is, you know, it's expensive, but it's a necessity, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to look at what we have. Again, we believe the first structural assessment that's taken place in 37 years, which is really more surprising just in the fact of the storms that have taken place.
Yeah.
More than it is that a general assessment hasn't been done. And you know, we've got to figure out how to take care of the things that we have. And this was really spurred by the ARPA money that was set aside in the previous administration to do those much needed aesthetic, you know, I keep calling it the modernization. If we don't update the first or second floor of City Hall, it'll be back in vogue again. If we wait long enough in a couple more years,
City Hall retro, just wait it out. It'll be fine.
Right, exactly. I said if we keep hanging on to these 40-year-old chairs, they're going to be worth a lot more in a few more years. You know?
They're going to be collector's items, right? They're going to be first editions, and you can sell them on eBay.
Hello, eBay.
Exactly, exactly. You can't find them anywhere. But but that's why they set that money aside. And, well, my stop was, before we go spend upwards of $1 million to fix these things, what are we spending $1 million on? I mean, if it was your house and you thought there was a foundational issue, you probably wouldn't spend $1 million on paint and drywall
carpet,
and things like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Be less important. So, so that's how we got here. And, you know, fortunately we were able to, or unfortunately able to find some of those things. And that delta of about $290,000 doesn't count the mold remediation in those closets on the outside. So that's why I said, really, we're looking at a delta of about $500,000. But we'll figure out how to do it. I hope that we won't be in an either or situation, that we either fix the structural issues or update the first and second floor where the city meets with its government, you know, and that is important. So I think we'll get a path to victory here that we'll bring back to council to figure out how to get it funded.
And you know, I asked the question because I just want to make sure. I assume the answer is yes. Are you planning to or going to do inspections of the other major facilities? I mean, we found out with the Young Gym, okay, and that had to be taken care of. You know, PPD is one good example, but the city doesn't own just three buildings. The city, I'm sure, owns a lot of buildings. This seems like the kind of question that ought to be asked of most of them, just again to find out where we are.
And again, Station 4, the fire department,
where
Station 4 has been out of their building. Good news and good progress there, by the way, you know, probably be back in, actually a little bit sooner than we thought. So, but yeah.
This goes back to the issues at Station 3 that required a new station to be built. So, yeah, good point, yeah.
Yeah, and so we do want to get out of the habit of letting these problems come find us. And in the case of City Hall, again, I mean, these problems didn't come find us. I mean, it was really more of a prioritization before you write a big check to go do aesthetic things. So that's good. But yeah, and what you'll see in the budget is we're adding some staff to Public Works with eyes on our community, you know, so having someone waking up every day that's in charge of, you know, more building maintenance and more building oversight. Our team does a great job in public works right now, but frankly, I was kind of surprised by how few people, ultimately one, maybe two in the facilities area that they're able to get to all of these facilities that we have, and they do an admirable job. Our facilities team is awesome, but you know, this, it just strikes me as somewhere that needs a little extra help to make sure that we're maintaining the stuff we have.
And most definitely, I think it's a very adult, responsible decision. So, and I know we're getting texts supporting you on this as well. I noticed one of the agenda items for tomorrow night, it's a little bit smaller of a thing, but it's $107,000 for the Bayview Park drainage. Now, this is between the tennis courts and the westernmost or southernmost, southwesternmost of the boat parking area. I did notice that the zone did not include the dog park, and I know the dog park folks will tell you that, you know, drainage, runoff, erosion are ongoing all the time problems for the dog park. Is there a plan to fix, work with the dog park? I know, I'm glad to see the drainage stuff done a little bit to the east of that, but what's the plan for Bayview?
Well, yeah. So, as you said, the project that's been in place and has been for a while to get done is that erosion happening right there, like you said, tennis courts, playgrounds through that area. You know, fortunately, that project actually came in under projected budget, so that's it's good news. And exactly. So we're gonna get going on that. I don't know of anything happening at the dog park, but okay. I do agree. I've taken my dog to that dog park, certainly, when we talk about things to maintain, that certainly falls squarely in that category. It's not probably up to the standard that I would expect. Or if I were, the better example I use is if I didn't know anything about Pensacola and I were to go there, would I be impressed? With that interaction, probably not.
Yeah.
As a dog owner, I certainly can sympathize and we've got a lot of other things going. Doesn't mean it's not important, but, you know, certainly something that we'd be happy to look at.
The new one at Hitzman Optimus Park that nobody uses is great. I mean, you know, but that's a weird location. Right. And until people go there, people won't go there. Hey, there's a good news note. I want to give a chance to – it's a little bit smaller item on the agenda, but it caught my attention. The old defunct gas station on Cervantes just west of Palafox, 23 West on the south side of the street – is going to become, I'll let you say it,
for ice cream?
Yeah. It's an ice cream shop. They're making a frozen tasty treat or something right there, right?
I believe so. I don't know the specifics of what will come out of the machine, but the good news is that building has been, I mean, I used to live about a couple blocks from there. Excuse me. Used to live a couple blocks from there. And I mean, for as long as I can remember, that building, and it's a tough spot. You know, it's on a very, very busy state road. It's a very inclined parking lot there. And so, for every idea, and I'm talking about really in my previous life, when just as a business owner, people would kind of inquire about it. And between the parking lot and how many spaces you need, could it be a restaurant, you know, environmental, all that, which I know has been looked at. You know, so I'm thrilled to get something that has been completely unactivated and really, you know, becoming an eyesore to be able to bring something to the community and to that neighborhood.
No, I think it's
more
great.
Walkable, really.
Definitely, it's a great thing. Now, you also, you spoke the forbidden word the other day, and there's an item on the agenda, and you guys are going to start working on the land development code. LDC is a dirty word because as soon as you start messing with the LDC, everybody goes crazy. I've watched this happen two times now in Santa Rosa County. But you're not even doing that. This is just the preliminary overview to make sure that the LDC doesn't have any internal contradictions and that it's compliant with current existing like state law before we can even start to have the conversation about serious changes, right?
Exactly. And the reality in Pensacola is we have not had any version of comprehensive look at the LDC in about 16 years. And I always say in Pensacola years, that's about 50. I mean, we've had one restaurant down Palafox, one or two, maybe 16 years ago. So and I'll use a couple of anecdotes. I mean, we have districts within downtown where on one side of the street, you can only build to six stories. It's not defined by feet. And on the other side of the street, you can build to 150 feet. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's nothing environmental. That's just an example of what we really need to do is lay all the LDC out on the table and say, what do we have in here that contradicts itself? What do we have in here that's vague? Because, you know, people can deal with disappointment. If there were to be a change in the LDC that people didn't like, generally human beings can deal with disappointment if they know that it's been well researched and they can explain the rules.
Yep.
You know, at the end of, and so getting rid of as much ambiguity as we can is really the value here. So I mean, this is a, you know, $7,500,000 investment, and it takes time, and there won't be as much, you know, people will say, well, we get feedback. We're not there yet. This truly is an assessment in every sense of the word. They're going to come in, see, you know, a professional organization who does this for a living is going to come in unbiasedly and say, hey, why do you have this? Or why hasn't this been changed in 40 years? Or why, you know, they're going to give us that kind of roadmap, and then we can make decisions from there.
No, I think it's to me, this is of the same exact mindset as evaluating the buildings for what's wrong with them is, you know, hey, the land development code really matters. And let's see what's, you know, we know it's crazy. So let's find out a little bit of the shape of the crazy, and then we can move from there based on what we discover. So no, I think these are all smart, adult, good management things that you're pursuing. We always like to end with a little bit of the lightning round. So quick questions for Mayor D.C. Reeves. Do you have a morning pick-me-up drink, coffee, tea, energy, anything in that vicinity?
Yeah, it's lots. But no, it's a coffee, one coffee in the morning, and then Celsius is what I go to.
Okay.
They don't endorse me or anything.
All right. Do you drink the energy drinks? Oh, Celsius is an energy drink?
Yeah.
Oh, see,
yeah.
My ignorance. Okay, fair enough.
It goes right through you.
Thank you.
In every way.
Celsius, yeah.
I will tell you, I've never had an energy drink, and so, you know, that's why I live so long.
Oh, wow.
When I know, it's a kind of a bragging point now. When it comes to sunscreen, are you a spray, are you a lather, or are you an au naturel? Or do you, like, you know, put beer on, as the TikTok trend says?
Well, first of all, I need to say, you can't make fun of me for not watching Star Wars if you've never had an energy drink. But
But I think for you to compare energy drinks in scope of cultural significance to Star Wars is another faux pas. But move on. Go on.
Yes. Spray, because I'm an 8-year-old. So, spray the kid down, spray myself down. So I used to be lather, but now I'm all spray.
Fair enough. Gotcha. And the last one is, what's the worst purchase you've ever made? Don't say City Hall.
Oh, man. probably the 1991 Toyota Tercel hatchback that was my first car. It sputtered when we, like, drove it away from the person's house. No girls in high school liked it. No one wanted to ride with me, you know. So, and on top of that, a depreciating asset, as you know, Andrew. It depreciated from $1,000 to $800 right when I drove it away from the
Look, first
house.
Cars are like first loves. You're never proud of it, but you still miss them a little bit. D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again next week. Look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's so true, dude. Like, you know, your first crush or whatever, or your first date or girlfriend or boyfriend is always like, yeah, I know that wasn't good, but also, aw.
Yeah, right?
There's always that's how the heart works, right? Actually, okay, can I side note preach for just a second? It's designed to be that way so that you marry, you know, like the first person you really get emotionally entangled with is supposed to become your spouse, and then that all works to the good. You don't have the conflict of, boy, I remember the first one and the second one and the fifth one and the 18th one in comparison with this one. It's supposed to be, I remember the first one, and it's the same one. I mean, that's how it's supposed to
work.
So
you never had a girlfriend before Danny. That's what I thought.
No, I absolutely did.
Yeah.
And I've done everything wrong. I'm telling you how it's supposed to work.
Oh, I see.
Exactly.
I'm your other example. The 18th one, right. The 20th one.
And it
Darren.
Always sets up comparisons. And depending on how your brain works, you probably, you know, remember like the very best feature of that person and forget all the crap that made you break up with them. Like, there's all of that stuff, right? 4-3, and that's not a
not
fair
me.
Comparison.
I take notes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You have a chart that you can remind yourself.
I do. Ask me.
4-3-7-16-20. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I'm not a spy. I'm nothing. I'm Naval Lent.
I'm Naval Lynn. Stop cutting my mobile home in half. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Rush.
Go ahead. Try it again.
All right.
There we go. Oh,
hold
you're
on.
There we
go. Okay. Finally, it works.
I know.
Russian President Vladimir Putin will not be traveling to South Africa for a BRICS Nation Summit next month. That's because the country would be required to arrest him for war crimes in Russia that he's allegedly committed during the invasion of Ukraine. And also a suspected serial killer has been arrested in Dallas. And police say they arrested a 25-year-old man yesterday that they believe is linked to the murders of three women believed to be sex workers. Oscar Sanchez Garcia now facing three murder counts. The victims apparently were found in fields in April.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Man, I don't know if you've been following this like Carly Russell story. This story is nuts.
The kidnapped
you know,
and
yeah, the lady who claims that she saw the toddler and then claims she was kidnapped twice. But in the meanwhile, I guess stopped off at the grocery store on the way home for some snacks from the being kidnapped and like had done research on Taken and kidnappings and all these things.
That's just how I'd do it.
Yeah, and called like called the cops in over 600 yards while she's driving on the phone talking about this toddler. On the side. I mean, just, you know, when this story first came out, my wife's like, I don't know why everybody assumes that this happened and that she was a victim of some plot. It seems to me like she's just got issues and this is probably made up. And I'm like, my wife has a pretty good sense about things. I'll just put it that way.
I hope it
pretty
was.
Pretty good intuition about these things usually.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.